Okay, what can you tell me about what it was like working as a maid when you did?
Oh, as a maid?
Yeah.
Well, when you first go into the home, you're really nervous, really scared. But then you get used to it. And as a maid, my job was to set the table for the meals and serve the meals. And then I had to answer the doors when the cup would come, take their clothes and hang them up. Tell them, the people I worked for, that they had company. And I enjoyed serving the meals because I got to see the very wealthy people of them. And we enjoyed it to see how they dressed and things like that. It was nice. And then we had a room of our own and a living room and a bathroom was our quarters. And I worked with another girl that did all the cooking. I never had to do any cooking. I just did all the serving of the meals, keeping the silver clean and dust. Never had to run a sweeper because that was too hard work for a lady, for a girl. So that was about the work that we did each day.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to make the bed for the Mr. and Mrs. of the house, but not the children. The children had to make their own bed. And then I would arrange flowers for the table. Serve, when we'd have dinner parties, serve after dinner coffee in the living room. We always served them in the little tiny cups where the men couldn't get their fingers even in the cups. Like little girls play with cups like that, but they were called after dinner cups. But I enjoyed my work because it was, they respected you. And we had off every Thursday afternoon and every other weekend. But they also worked all the other times. And, some days I'd have to take the dog for a walk. That was one job I didn't enjoy. But else I enjoyed. And the girl that was 12, I had to see that she had her clothes laid out for school, which she always laid them out the night before. Everything right in her roll. And she kept her room running. And it was my job to go with her to a movie. They would always take us to the movie and pick us up. And we went to see like the Great Dan, the Blue Waltz, Great Daniel Waltz, I think it was. Was just gorgeous. I made a mistake for it. Can you erase that? It was a Blue Daniel Waltz, that's what it was.
Okay.
And the parents just didn't care to go to all these things with a 12-year-old. So that was my job, to go to a movie and go with her, or when she wanted to go ice skating in the wintertime. And all this, I always went with her. And most of the evenings, she had her supper early, and then the parents would take like an hour or an hour and a half to be with her, talk to her, play with her, whatever they wanted to do. And then they would have their dinner later. And once in a while, it was a privilege for her to, she ate breakfast with her parents and lunch when she was there. But her dinner hour was always early, and her parents ate later. And then she was off to her room after she had her supper. She did not just come to her age. She didn't have to go to bed yet. But she didn't eat with the parents. So, but it was an experience for me, because I was used to the whole family being at home all the time. We all, you know,
Okay.
When I first went there to work, the girl's name was Peggy. And they had a dog, Chow, and they introduced me to the dog, because he was a watchdog. But when I would come, he wouldn't do a thing. He would let me in, do anything. I could go through the house. But if someone else, a stranger, came in, they never got any further than the kitchen. If it was a grocery man or whatever, and that dog would growl at him. So I was never afraid when they'd go away. You know, because the dog was there to, more or less, to protect us. We got along real good together.
Okay. What can you tell me about the room that you used to live in?
When I was there?
Yeah.
Oh, my room, my sleeping quarters was on the third floor. And I had a small living quarter and a nice sized bedroom and a bathroom. And it was well furnished. I had good, you know, good furnishings in it. It wasn't like it was just the bare necessities. But in my bedroom, I had a nice comfortable chair and dinner. But I had no radio or TV wasn't out yet. But I didn't have no radio or anything in my room. Just furnished them, but no radio. But my quarters was on the third floor. And the other bedrooms were all on the second. There was no bedrooms on the first floor at all. It was all living quarters on the first floor.
What do you remember about your uniforms? Did you have to wear uniforms or?
In the daytime, we wore a blue and white stripe, or a green and white stripe uniform with white colored cuffs, short sleeves. And when I would serve the meals, I wore gray, like a silkish material with white cuffs and collar. But I never had to wear a piece of cuff. Some of the girls at work had to wear a piece in here, like the nurses wear, a white thing in your hair. But they never made me wear that in when. But when we went to Florida, the year I went to Florida with them, I had to wear it in Florida when I served the guests. That was my job then. I had to set the table and serve the meals, turn the beds down for all the guests before they go to bed. And for the daughter, and but not for the Mr. and Mrs. I'm going to have to turn their beds down, but I did for the girl. Turn the beds down at night. And that was my job. But, I never had a sweep. I had a dust. And set the table and serve the meals. And that was about all I had to do. Okay.
In what ways did you address the family you worked for and their guests?
Always, Mr. and Mrs. Mr. Potter, Mr. Cummings, the two different faggots I worked for, was always Mr. and Mrs. He never, but the children always called him my first name. And they would never say anything. And we always ate in the kitchen for the cowboys. But the one place I worked in Flint, when we would have a party, after the guests were served, she would always come into the kitchen to see how much food was left and check the food. And we were allowed so much. And she figured so much was supposed to be left. Mm-hmm. I know one time we were hungry and we went to the drugstore to get a ice cream bar and there were a lot of them. So when we come home, we knew she had them in the refrigerator. But she wasn't there to ask for them, so we took them anyway. And when she came home that night, she went to the refrigerator to get one, You could hear in our living room, she slammed the door real hard, you know. And the lady said, oh, we're going to catch it tomorrow. So right away in the morning, I said, Mrs. Cummings. She said, yes. I said, we heard you go to the refrigerator, but, and there wasn't any ice cream bars left. But I told her we went to the drugstore, so we took one out of the refrigerator, and then we noticed that was the last of them. She said, oh, that's all right. She said, I didn't need it anyway. But she was always real friendly to me, you know. But to the cook, right, once in a while, she would lose her temper. But she never has lost her temper. She never lost her temper. Then when she was 13, they had a coming out party for her. And I thought that was young. Mm-hmm. But that meant that then a boy could take her to a party, like a boy could go with her to a show. And then after that, I didn't have to go with her. And I worked there, oh, a good year after that, Jeff. But I didn't have to go with her. They always wanted to know what time I came home, where I was going. They were more protective than the one in Flint. The one in Flint never asked us where we were going or what we were doing. But the only thing, when we went to Florida, we had a call them every night, and the chauffeur took us to Florida. And when we worked in Florida, we went up on down there and started. They sometimes used to get help down there. And then they decided to take a chauffeur and a cook and myself with them to Florida. And, but their daughter was old enough to be, so they never got a cook. But the girls used to, you know, all the girls that worked for the different families, we used to get together. And we were allowed company in our home, in our room, in our quarters, we could have company. It was a different living than living at home.
What can you remember about your daily schedule?
Oh, we had to get up at 7 o'clock in the morning. Breakfast was always at 8 o'clock. And I always had to serve breakfast. And then the girl left for school, because school started at 9. And then I did Dustin. And then one day I would have to polish silverware in between time. And then and I had rest period every afternoon for a couple hours. And we did, the two of us, the two girls that worked there, we had to put clothes away. We never had a lady come in to do the wash and iron. So we didn't have to do that. But then we had to get things ready for lunch. And then after lunch, we always had like a 2-hour rest period. We could do whatever we wanted. And then by that time, I had to get the table ready to set and arrange bowls for the dinner table. And our dinner schedule was always 7 o'clock. But at the place I worked, either place, we never had a cocktail hour before dinner. But one older girl, she used every once in a while to say, I don't know why we can't have cocktail hour. We're the only ones. But they didn't believe in having cocktail hour. And they would have it when they had company. That was the only time they ever had a cocktail hour. So that was a daily schedule every day. But I had a, you know, pick up, but then they had a lady come in to do the heavy wiping the floors and push the sweep and the chauffeur. So, it was a big house, so it took me a long to do it. But in Detroit, when I worked in Detroit, where the 12-year-old girl was, right there I did the cooking also at that place. But I still, there I had an hour. But in the one in Flint, we always had 2 hours in that to rest. And then we'd clean up, change our clothes, because we always had to, even the one that did the cooking had to have a clean uniform for supper. I did it. So we always had to change our color of uniforms for one. But the cook, if she had on, like, she could have a same color on, but it had to be a plain one. So we usually wore the one, she usually wore the one that she had on for supper, and she put that on in the morning, wore that, until afternoon, and she put the plain one on. So she, instead of putting it on in the morning, right away, she always put it on. Those were one of the things that and do the dishes. I never washed dishes. I never had a wash dishes. I had to dry them. And I had a job. Chauffeur. He always, when they did have drinks, he'd always mix the drinks, but I would have to serve them. So he never got into the dining room after it. The guests would arrive. Yeah, I would have a party. But I did. I know one night when they had like an engagement party. And they both wanted to see the bride. Because the bride-to-be was about 40 years younger than the groom. Are you supposed to say names in this?
Yeah, you can.
Uh-huh. He was Mr. Mott from Flint. And I think this was his third wife. She was real young. And when we had the party, even the daughter there said afterwards, over, she said, did you see that rock on her hand? She said, it's covered way from here above this bay. And I just really. But I enjoyed serving the dinners when they had dinner party. Because you could see all how they were dressed and everything. So I usually enjoyed when I worked for them. But that was all. And, I got $10 a week. And I owned more. Because we had to stay there. That's what was our wages.
What were some of the rules that you had to follow?
in Flint, they never, the rules that were, oh, we can stay, it didn't matter like that, but like the rules, we always had to be, our hair had to be neat, and our clothes had to be clean. Never wrinkled or anything. They had to always be, I always had to be really neat and clean. And if you ever spilled anything on you, you change. You had to change your clothes. That was one of the rules. And we could have company, but we had to keep them always. We couldn't use their part of the house. We always had to keep, have our company in our own living room. Or the kitchen. We could use the kitchen. But outside of that, we couldn't. And but when I worked in Detroit, I had to begin at 12 o'clock. And I was 21 years old. 20. I still had to be in at 12 o'clock. And never wore much makeup. You have a little lipstick on. But no other kind of makeup on. I guess that was about it for the rules that we had to follow. We painted it up a lot. And we always had to get our whole place at 7 o'clock. Most of the time we had to get up.
What can you tell me about how you used to set the table?
Even according to the courses we had, you always had to set the table, and you had your plate and your cup and saucer. The cup and saucer was always to the right. The butter dish was to the left, and you always laid the butter knife across the butter plate. And then according to how many courses you had, you would put the knife, and then you would put the spoon. And if the spoon consists of another serving, you would have another spoon and another spoon. Like if you had soup, coffee, and ice cream served to a meal, you would put your coffee spoon to the outside. And then you would put your spoon to eat your dessert would be next. Your soup spoon would come after your first your coffee spoon, then your soup spoon, and then your spoon that you eat your dessert, and then your knife. And on the other side would be your fork. And if you had salad, would be a salad fork. And if you had, if we had served hors d'oeuvres ahead of time, we'd have an hors d'oeuvre fork. And they would be set according to the way you eat your course. It was always. And the red plate, the butter plate was also for your rolls. Your rolls would always go on there. You always served to the left and took off to the right. You'd bring the food in. You always served it on the left side so they could use their right hand to dish out. And then you would take it off. When you'd reach in, you'd take it off to the right. Your dishes when they get done. Take that, of course. And it was always served family style. We always served the meals. And but the host would sit at the head of the table, and the meat and the potatoes, the gravy and the vegetable was always set on the end of the table where he sat. And then he would always go to the which guest was the most honored guest. And they would have their plates served. Usually they would set either to the right or the left to the hostess. So the plate would be served down to the other end of the table. And then the guests would be served as they come to him. And then the hostesses were served next to the last. He was served last. But he always dished out, and he would ask them whether they wanted a large serving or a small serving. And that was most places that I worked. That was where he served them. And even if they were alone, even if they ate alone, he would dish out. You would be shocked. so everything was set around him, like the meat, potatoes, or if there was gravy, and vegetable. But salad was always in separate, salad was always in separate plates. And then the rolls were passed. But, and the butter was put on a butter plate. And then I would serve the coffee. He had to serve the coffee. I'd always serve the coffee after he had everything dished out. And I'd serve the coffee. And then I would, when I would remove him, he never served dessert. I had always served dessert.
Okay. What were some of your secrets that you used for house cleaning? Do you have any, like, special secrets that I don't know? Like, that's different from how we use it, things today?
I didn't do that much of the house dusting. The chauffeur had to do the mopping. The chauffeur always did the mopping of the floors. And what he used, I don't even know. But the second place I worked, there I did the cooking. And our Sunday dinners was always a leg of lamb one Sunday and chicken the next. That was it. And I worked there for a year and 3 months. And the menu for Sunday never changed. It was a leg of lamb one Sunday and chicken the next Sunday. But during the week we'd have different things. And she was going out, she'd be on a diet every once in a while. And we'd have lamb chops for weeks at a time. But I don't know if I should say this or not. But the one place when I was 21 where I worked, why sometimes when us girls would all get together and they would be all gone, why we mix us a drink? That should be at the school, should it?
Oh, that's okay. Go ahead.
And we would take liquor out of the bottle and then we put it, we knew where the line was. And then we'd fill it back up with water so he didn't know we had a drink out of it. We didn't do it very often, but every once in a while we used to do it. And we'd always laugh. No, but they never said anything. So I don't know if they ever knew it, but we did it anymore.
What can you tell me about how common this job was for certain people?
The middle-class people, the majority of the middle-class people were maids in homes or nannies in my generation. They weren't the real poor. It would seem like it was more the middle class that worked in homes. I really don't know why. Because I don't know though. I don't know if I was sitting down in the middle class or not, because there was some times that we couldn't have things because we didn't have the money. But I know that in the same class that we were, the majority of them all did, from Maple Grove and Chesman, the majority of them did housework or were names for little kids. And on our day off, we would go to the Y. So the Y was a place where we'd all meet. And there would probably be about, a lot of times it'd be 15, 20 girls bringing from Maple Grove and Chesman that would meet at the Y. And we'd just sit and visit, and then some of them shopping, and some would go to a movie. But if we didn't have anything to do, there's where we'd meet and just spend the afternoon. What was that last question?
How common was the job for certain people?
Like all the heavy ones in Maple Grove, the Burke Myers, the Strang, and the Barbers. All of them worked in homes for wealthy people in Flint or Detroit. And it was just, that was a common job for the young girls, because they didn't hire anybody in factories at all. And I imagine a lot of them probably did waitress jobs, but from this area, a lot of them did worked in homes like this. It was either amazing.
What kind of people do you remember working for?
He was, a very nice man, real common. Never acted like he had money. He was real friendly all the time. But she came from a poor family. And she let you know that she had money. And she would want every time there was any big doings going on in Flint, she would want to go to be dressed up and have him wait on her, like to have the paper come to the house to have the pictures taken with him putting her coat on. And he did it once while I worked there. And after that, he would never do it again. But she liked that. She liked to show off and have a lot of attention. But he was a paper boy when he was. His parents had some money, but he still had a paper route when he was young. And then when he grew up, he was in the car business and he became real wealthy. And he was one of the wealthiest men in the world. But he never showed like he was. He was a very common man and good to the, he was always good to the health. Where sometimes she would kind of explode a little bit. But I never treated her that way. The other girl that worked with me, she'd say to me sometimes, "How can you talk to her like that?" And I said, "Well, I'm just as good as she is just because I don't have a lot of money. But if she was going to a party and her slip showed, I'd say, 'Mrs. Cummings, your slip is showing.'" And so they would say, "How can you tell her that? I can let her fall." I said, "I can't let her walk out in public with her slip showing." And she would always thank me. But if we did something wrong, even if it was my fault, she would scold the day and said, "Now you're supposed to do it this way." But she never, and I don't know why. But she was always really, she was good to me. But she liked to know, let people know that she had money. But he would always say, "No, we're not going to do that. I don't want to do that." But as far as, go on, they went quite a bit and entertained a lot. And they had, this was his second wife. His first wife died when he had a 2-year-old. He had 3 children from his first wife. And the baby was 2 years old. And his second wife was a teacher at the deaf school. And she said to the help, she said, "I'm going to marry him." Because this is what she told us. And she said, "I did." The rest of the help at the school laughed. Said, "How are you going to marry him when he's such a rich guy?" But she did. And when their last child was married, she left him. And then she married somebody else, and she married a shoplifter. But the other family,
I worked for, were both wealthy. She told me they would have been millionaires. But there was three men in a business, and one of the men did some bad without the other two knowing that. But they still had a lot of money. But in the second family I worked for, the lady was real, real kind. And he wanted her to have a fur coat. So she brought three of them home. And she had me try them on to see which one she liked the best, because we wore the same size. And when she got done, she bought the cheapest of the three coats and then went to Saks Fifth Avenue and bought a label and sold the label into the cheap coat. She said, that's what they like to see when you throw your coat over the chair, is to see a Saks Fifth Avenue label and then you're something. So she was, so that was the difference in the two families I worked for. The one lady wanted to, she wanted to show off that she had money. But the other one, yeah. She didn't want her friends to know that she bought the cheaper things. And they would wait for things to go on sale. The second family I worked for, they would wait for things to go on sale and then buy it. And she'd see it the first time, she said, you would say it's too expensive. And then she would the first lady never talked much about her buying her clothes.
What did the other people's uniforms you worked with look like?
Well, the chauffeur always wore black. The chauffeur had those four piece sticking out.
Yeah.
You know what? I think they look a lot like a Belvedere. Ever have a hat on yet?
I don't know.
Well, something like, but he was always dressed in black. And the maid in the kitchen always dressed in the striped uniform. And I was the only one that wore the gray. It was like silk material. But whether it was summer or winter, it was long sleeves with white cuffs and white collar. The gardener and the lady that come to do the wash, they wore anything. Just like the lady in the kitchen, that's all she did was keep the kitchen clean and cook the meals, did the dishes. That was her job. And she never had to go in the other part of the house at all. And when I worked in Detroit, I could wear whatever I wanted for this family, except when we had company. And I have shoes of any kind. It didn't matter what kind of shoes you wore.
What do you remember about your relationship with the other people that worked with you?
they and I shouldn't say that they, I guess it, the other maid, her and I got along real good together. Because we had to sleep together, we just had one bed, we had to sleep together. And the chauffeur, he was colored, he couldn't read or write. And he never wanted me to know. But the maid that did work in the kitchen, why, she knew that he couldn't read or write. And then when we'd have a big dinner party, they always had extra help come in. So we got along pretty good until one day when Mrs.'s father died. Then her mother was blind and her mother came to live with her. And then they had a nurse from Canada come down. I don't know why she came from Canada. And she stayed. And she caused some hard feelings between the maid that did the kitchen work and me. Because she said it wasn't fair. Because this Christmas, I got the very same identical presents as the one in the maid that worked in the kitchen. And she had worked there, I had worked there 5 months that year, and this other one had worked there over a year, maybe 2 years or she caused a conflict between us. But she said, that's not right. And so she got kind of mad at me. Until we had words then. I said, well, I can't help it. I haven't done anything. And I can't help it that they give me the same thing they give you. And that was the only time that we worked together that we did have words. But it was really the nurse's fault, because she was the one that brought it up. Couldn't figure out why I was treated, not working there that long, and not treated the same way as she did. That was the only time we ever had any words between each other. So, what else we got more for? I was glad. I don't like to think of anybody. I can't talk and laugh.
How old were you when you were made in Flint?
17 when I started out. And I worked until I got married. Just about 17.